Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to catch up on all things going on with Catholic Family Services. And boy, quite a list of things that Catholic Family Services can do to help you. Justin Phelan joins us to talk through a number of those things this morning. We'll have news for you in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday morning. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, and Father Darren Schmidt with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard the one who was speaking to me say, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart, they are to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them." The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Gene Young is away this week, so I have the news for you. 7 Presentation Sisters from Aberdeen will be celebrating their jubilees of profession this summer. Sister Armella Stratman, Sister Mary Aileen Huddle, Sister Enrita Johnson will all celebrate their 70th anniversaries on July 21st. Sister Kathleen Byrne, Sister Marilyn Dunn will celebrate their 60th jubilees on July 21st. And Sister Pam Donnellan and Sister Lucille Welbig will celebrate their 50th jubilees in July. You can read more about the Presentation Sisters and their jubilees in the July edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes right now. Pope Francis has named a lay Italian journalist with decades of experience in print, radio, television, broadcasting to head the Vatican Secretariat for Communication. Paolo Ruffini, who headed the Italian Conference of Catholic Bishops TV and Radio Network, was named prefect of the Dicastery recently, making him the first layperson to head such a high-level Vatican Dicastery. He succeeds Italian Monsignor Dario Vignano, who resigned as prefect in March after a controversy involving the use and photographing of a letter from retired Pope Benedict XVI. Pope Francis created the Secretariat for Communication in 2015 to streamline and coordinate the Vatican's many news and communication outlets and make them more effective. The Vatican has since changed the name to the Dicastery for Communication. In less than 48 hours, a group of Catholic bishops saw the faces of triumph and relief from migrants who had been recently released by immigration authorities but ended their two-day journey to the border with a more somber experience, visiting detained migrant children living temporarily within the walls of a converted Walmart. During a news conference after the second and last day of their visit, they stressed the urgent need to do something to help migrant children. The children who are separated from their parents need to be reunited. That's already begun, and it's certainly not finished, and there may be complications, but it must be done, and it's urgent, said Cardinal Daniel DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, who is president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. While Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Baltimore offered prayers and support for the families and loved ones of five people recently murdered at the offices of the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, a former longtime sports editor for the newspaper mourned his friends as exceptional journalists who were also good human beings. A 38-year-old gunman using a shotgun blasted his way into the newsroom in what police said was a targeted attack against the publication. The Supreme Court has opened the door for discrimination based on a person's religious beliefs and moral values, Canadian bishops wrote in a frank rebuttal to a decision by Canada's highest court. In the wake of the ruling that will likely scuttle a proposed law school at Trinity Western University, the bishops issued a statement that they said were deeply concerned and warned of serious implications and negative repercussions for individuals and institutions. A grand street procession dedicated to Mary through North Philadelphia's busy neighborhoods on a recent Sunday was the highlight of St. Veronica Parish's days-long Marian mission. Putting Mary everywhere is the major goal of St. Veronica parishioners. That's our time for news this morning. Let's move on to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined by Justin Phelan, who is with Catholic Family Services. And Justin, good to have you back.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to be here.
I think about this time of year, and I wonder if people have a little more time to reflect, to relax a little bit, and in the sense of that, maybe do a little assessment of themselves in terms of where they're at, what their needs might be. And it seemed to me might be a good moment for us to share all the different resources that Catholic Family Services can provide.
Yes. Summertime is a busy time for everyone. It's busy for families and kids and adults, and people take vacations and they really get regimented about doing those things. And then about midsummer, people start looking towards the end of summer and starting of school. And then all of the things that are on the to-do list that they've pushed aside suddenly become apparent.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good time for this conversation.
Oh, that's great. And frankly, any time is a good time for this conversation, because we do want people to know that if they're feeling not quite right in any aspect of their life, we probably can help them.
You know, there's something to be said about the way we feel. And I don't know if it's the media or Hollywood that has Americans characterized as needing to be perfect. And, you know, we're not perfect, and that's okay. And we have to learn to accept that. One of the things at Catholic Family Services that we do is we help people who can identify that funny feeling that says something's going on. I'm a little bit sad, or I have a bit of an adjustment problem. And we have a great team of people and a great number of resources through Catholic Family Services that we reach out to people in need and help them through those times.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. It's not about even being perfect, because we can't be, right?
Correct.
It's just not possible.
Right.
But if there's something where we're just not, you know, firing on all cylinders, if you will, there may be some ways that we can help.
You know, there certainly are. The most difficult part for anyone listening, or anyone who's even not listening, is what to do once they have that feeling.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not sleeping well. Maybe they're not eating well. Maybe some thought just continues to weigh on their minds or on their conscience. The most important thing is that they be able to connect with a resource, which requires making a phone call most times, or telling a relative or a family member, you know, don't keep that a secret. Telling someone about it, and then just having the
openness of mind to receive some feedback. You know, we have a number of experts that work with us in different capacities, but we don't have all the answers. But we're great at listening, and mm-hmm. I think sometimes that is the best thing.
Yeah.
You know, coming to receive a service at Catholic Family Services can be quite eye-opening. And knowing that, you know, you don't have to have all the answers, and we don't judge people for that.
Right.
But we're great listeners, and we have a great set of skills where we can help people shift the way they think or what they do or how they view that problem.
Okay. It's sometimes that first call that's tough, isn't it? There's still a bit of a stigma with
hard.
All of that.
It's a big stigma, yeah. But it, you know, it's usually in our minds.
Yeah. It's true, isn't it? If we can just get over that hump and we know on the other side, we're going to feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. There's so many different ways that Catholic Family Services does this. Let's talk about maybe some of the, what we've been talking about, I guess, so far is really probably more the general counseling resource that's available. And that's true for marriages, for individuals, for families,
couples,
right? Couples,
children.
Yep.
Both children and adults. So we have a wide range of counseling services that we offer. And those are, you know, several counselors that do this. But we have a full range of counseling services, and then we have a number of groups that we do. And I'll just list what they are.
We'll talk about them as we go along.
Sure.
Because we can kind of identify what might be useful to particular people by talking about the particular ones. Huh?
You bet. Yeah. We're just finishing up grieving the loss from a homicide. And this particular group is when you've lost a loved one due to homicide, which is a really needless death. And that is maybe a little bit more difficult for people to reach out and say, I need this group.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefit in doing the group is that you're surrounded by people or you participate with people who have the similar need. And so you learn a lot from those people that are also in the group.
So say a word a bit more, because we're going to talk about some other groups that we have as well. Say a word, if you would, about the difference between doing individual counseling and doing something in a group like that.
Okay. In an individual counseling session, the counselor is really the expert. And we do a lot of listening where the client would come in and say, for example, they want to talk about not being able to get out of bed in the morning mm-hmm. because they feel so down. We're going to listen to that person talk to us, and then we're going to maybe give them some feedback or some ideas. This is not advice giving. We're not in the business of giving advice, but we might give them some constructive feedback. We might conduct some kind of assessment
mm-hmm.
Because the results from the assessment may give us the information that will be helpful. We might refer them to a medical doctor if we think that's appropriate. But we're really in the position of listening to the person talk about the problem. And counseling, individual counseling can go on for, you know, it can be time limited. It could be a 2-3 sessions, or it could be 6 months, where a person comes every week for 6 months or every other week for 6 months, or it could be long-term where the person would come for a year or sometimes 2 years. And we're always listening to what that person is saying. Then we have, marital counseling, where a husband and a wife would come in and talk about what's not working in the marriage. And the counselor's job is maybe to listen for themes that are being talked about, perhaps parenting themes or different styles in parenting or money management or communication. And again, the counselor is really the expert in the room. And so we're listening, and then we're trying to guide those people in a certain direction.
Okay.
But we're not giving advice.
Right, right. And then versus a group where it's a little different dynamic.
The dynamic in a group is the participants are really the experts at living their life, and they are with other people that are living in the same circumstance. And the counselor is more just the facilitator, mm-hmm. but we don't do a lot of talking in the group. We want the talking to come from the group members themselves because they have so much to offer each other.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's helpful. It's for people that have not had the experience to understand kind of the distinction between that as we talk about the different things this morning. You mentioned the grief session that's just ending. There's another one coming up at the end of July that starts. And these are 6-week sessions that happen,
yep.
right?
Yep. The grieving and loss of a spouse coming up in July. That group goes for 6 weeks. And the last time we did this, we filled it.
Yeah.
And that was popular. That was great. And it was great to see how many men we had participate. Mm-hmm. And you know, we read the reviews, the participant evaluations very carefully, and the reviews are always very positive.
Yeah. So that again starts July 31st.
31st.
And if you want information about any of the things that we're talking about this morning, the CFS website is good. It's under the SF Catholic Diocese, the SF Catholic /CFS, if you want to find that information, or you can call the office. And get the information as well. How about the Rachel's Vineyard that I see on the schedule, Justin? That's coming up, I think, at the end of July.
Yep, July 28th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. is a one-day retreat for Rachel's Vineyard, and that's open to men and women, mothers and fathers and grandparents who have been affected by abortion.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it's a tough topic, isn't it? For people to talk about, I think it's a tough topic.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So having this kind of a setting where it is so safe, it is so confidential, it is secure, people can feel okay about doing it there.
They certainly should. And I think it should be stressed that, you know, this is, although these are difficult topics, we have real experts that are conducting these programs.
Right.
And this isn't just, you know, something we threw together. These are solid programs run by solid credentialed people that really care deeply about the people that need the help.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely so. And again, it's a tough one to do, but I would encourage anyone who, or if you know of somebody who, you know, maybe has been struggling with this topic for a long time and just has never dealt with it, it doesn't matter how long ago it happened.
No, because, you know, grief, whether it's from losing a spouse or losing a child or losing a baby,
mm-hmm.
You know, that can last a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so it's always the right time to come to Catholic Family Services to talk about this for any reason.
I've heard others talk about this, and it might have been Dr. Moran herself, Dr. Marcy Moran herself talked about this, that if you don't deal with stuff in some way, it's going to come out in another way.
Bad.
And in a way that you probably don't want.
Yeah, it comes out sideways, and it oftentimes comes out in ways that we don't necessarily always recognize, things like alcohol use or maybe drug abuse. A lot of times for men, it comes out as irritability and anger and impulsiveness or gambling. And we don't always trace that back to unresolved grief, but it is.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that you might be thinking you're dealing with one issue and there's something underlying it that's really the root cause to what's going on.
It is. Yeah. And oftentimes counselors talk about the layers of the onion. And peeling, if you think of an onion, and peeling back the layers of the onion really can expose the true problem. And, you know, our hope is to just be able to facilitate that process and to help the people that want to come here to gain some traction, gain some ground on those problems.
There's a couple of specialty groups that we offer as well, and I want to talk about these because while it may not impact the people listening this morning directly, I'd be surprised if they didn't know someone who could benefit from the two groups that I want to talk about next. One is the Living with Chronic Illness. That's a monthly meeting that you have, yeah. And it's such a great resource to those who either are dealing with a chronic illness or those who are caring for them. Am I right?
It is, and we meet the first Tuesday of every month, and we do, you know, various things. We've started to have activities in the group where we are moving from talking about living with chronic illness, how to care for yourself or how to care for the person you love. But then moving more from talking about those aspects to an activity. And for example, this week, the members of that particular group planted flowers.
Mm.
And we talked about, you know, flowers are living things. And the reason that people love having plants and flowers around them is because you're surrounded by living things. And we did that this week, and I think it was very successful. They got their hands dirty. They talked about how that felt. We start every session out with a guided meditation to kind of get ourselves focused and centered and relaxed. And I think that's very beneficial.
Yeah. I know there's been benefits from it. Again, I also know it's one of those groups that maybe people initially have a tough time seeing themselves as a part of. Either they don't want to admit that they're dealing with this issue, or that they need the help to deal with the issue.
Yeah. And that's another benefit of the group is, you know, everyone has a different perspective or a different experience, but they have a lot of things in common. And no one ever likes to admit that they're ill, but we really look at that in a more positive light. Like, what can we do despite these things?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a something called cohesion, and this group has a lot of cohesion. They care about each other, and they care about how everyone is feeling.
Yeah. Well, a great opportunity. If you know somebody, again, it may not be you, but maybe you know somebody who could really benefit from a group like this. The other one I want to mention, and this one I know happens periodically, it's the Catholic divorce groups. And it happens all around the diocese in different places now too, right?
Yep. Well, usually once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think one of the strong points I want to make about the Catholic divorce group is, you know, it is really geared towards healing and transitioning from marriage to a life of divorce. And it is not a social group, and it is not a place to come and mingle, but it is truly to find out, how do I make this transition to the best of my abilities gracefully? How do I do that? And again, it's in a group setting, and people get to learn from each other. The counselor is simply the facilitator. We'll bring in some guest speakers, because that's always helpful to give that perspective, a little bit different than just listening to the counselor, the facilitator. You can bring in a guest speaker. And I think the participants really appreciate that. Someone that gives them a real live perspective on what it's like to, either live a divorced life or planning to live a divorced life.
And that you can do so and still be Catholic, I think, is for some it's a surprise to hear that, and it's important to hear that.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. You know, I'll spare people the statistics on marriage success, but, you know, Catholics get divorced just like everyone else, and you can still have a happy, productive, and prosperous life if you are divorced. But there are ways that you can adjust to that quite well.
All right. And then the thing I want to spend a little time talking about in the time we have left this morning is I know that there is a real desire to support our parishes and our schools. And that happens through a variety of ways, different programs that you can do if a parish or a school has a particular need. And I know an area particularly of interest to you, Justin, right now is the whole suicide issue, which is so prevalent. It's not getting better. It's not getting better. And there are some tools, again, I know that you have developed yourself to try to be to be available and to be of assist to our parishes and schools.
You know, suicide prevention is, I guess, kind of near and dear to my heart. And I've been doing the training for 2 decades,
mm-hmm.
and it's not something that everyone likes to do, but it's really, it's a lot like CPR. The more people we have equipped and trained to recognize the warning signs for suicide and what to do if those warning signs are present, the better the outcomes. And so I recently underwent some intensive training for a module called QPR, and QPR stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. And that's an easy acronym to remember, but it's even easier to use, and that's why I like it so much. It's easy to teach. It's easy to use, and anyone can do it. You don't have to be a trained person. You don't have to be a professional person. And so I like to go around and train people how to do this. And my hope is that we get an opportunity to work in the schools, teaching administrators and students and teachers how to do this, because they really are the eyes and ears in the school system, and the students have so much contact with each other, that's really where you're going to see it. You're also going to see the warning signs at home, but you're not going to see them at home as much as you're going to see them in a school because the students, again, spend so much time there.
Right.
I will be doing a training in August for the jail system because obviously they have a real need. And my hope is to be able to do it many other places as time allows.
And so this is the kind of thing that, as you just said, I guess any of us can do. I
mean,
that might surprise people to hear.
Yeah, if you can run the coffee pot, you can do suicide prevention, or if you can sharpen a pencil. It's very easy to learn, which makes it effective. It's not intimidating. Some of the obvious warning signs are things that we all can recognize. Someone is sleeping too much or sad a lot of the times, or maybe something more extreme like someone is isolating or someone wrote a suicide note. Or maybe has fallen away from their peer group, or maybe their grades have dropped, or maybe they've dropped out of school. Those are all signs that we can recognize easily. And then what do we do with that?
Right.
We have to be able to ask a question, one simple question. And that is, we have to be able to ask the person if they're thinking of killing themselves. And there's not a better way or a different way to ask that question, because other ways are too ambiguous, and we don't want to do that.
You have to be very clear.
You got to be very clear. And if you ask the question clearly, you will almost always get a clear answer.
There's a lot there.
There is.
There's a lot there, and we don't have time to go a lot deeper than that. But the point I wanted to make is that Catholic Family Services, and you in particular, are available to help our schools and our parishes.
Yes.
Any organization really that wants to pursue this can do so.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's the
opportunity. So call our offices, 988-3775, and tell them you're interested in learning about suicide prevention, and we'll get you on the schedule.
And you can use that number to call about any of the things we talked about this morning. There's also an 800 number if you prefer to not have a long-distance charge if you're outside of the Sioux Falls area, and that's 800-700-7867. Or go to the website, sfcatholic.org/CFS. Again, you'll find pretty much everything we talked about this morning is available there. Justin, great to have you with us this morning. We covered a lot of ground.
We did.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Well, thanks for joining us on Catholic Views this morning. I hope that it helps you to learn about the availability of services from Catholic Family Services. That's our time for this morning's program. Please join us again next Sunday.